This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhardt, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound.
Chevalier, he'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
Turgeon Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores. Brett Hall, number 500.
Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans. Welcome to the Monday morning edition of your Blues NHL podcast. I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. Let me welcome in my cohort in crime, Coach Henson from the McKendree University Bearcat hockey team. What's going on, pal?
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good, but I just heard something that Americans don't smile on Monday until 11:16 on average. Did you smile today?
You know what? I haven't yet.
There you go. Our producer just smiled, so he's ahead of...
I was going to say, he was smiling when I got here this morning. He's probably against the norm, would be my guess. You know who's not smiling?
St. Louis Blues?
Well, Coach Yo is definitely not smiling.
No, he's not smiling.
I'm not quite sure any players were smiling after yesterday's practice.
Yeah.
We'll
skate.
We had ourselves a bag skate, which I noticed, and I thought I'd get this out of the way from the beginning. A lot of people, I think, were wondering what a bag skate is, and you correct me if I'm wrong at any time, but I believe a bag skate is where the pucks stay in the bag. Would that be correct?
Pretty
or
much,
you skate
yeah.
so hard,
yeah,
you skate so hard.
Yeah,
there's a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
Your bag hurts from skating so much.
Or. No, you can ask any old hockey player. Coaches would make them put their bag on their back.
Yeah, that's another one, huh?
Skate. Yeah.
Yep. This one, I think, was the no pucks. They stay in the bag, and they skated so much their bags probably hurt.
Yeah.
Would that be a good assessment probably from yesterday?
Yeah, I think so. I think they knew it was coming.
Yeah, you know, listen. Let's look at the last three. We come out of the break, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Coming out of the break, things had not been going great. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, we're stumbling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Injuries have, it appears, are finally taking their toll. I don't think there's any surprise amongst anybody. If you were to say, were you surprised how well they started this year after not having Fabry and then some other things they were dealing with, right? And then surprisingly started really strong, aided by what, right? Like Jake Allen played well early. Shen was all world early. So was Schwartz, right? I mean,
yeah.
Let's face it, right? You know, everything was going rather well.
Right.
You know, the youngster Dunn was playing well. Edmondson had stepped up his game. We were getting all these goals from the defense, right?
Well,
and then Schwartz goes down, and I see this all the time, and you have to ask yourself, how does one player go down affect this thing? Well, let me say this, and you stop me anytime, and then you stop me if I'm wrong, and then you also give your opinion afterwards.
Okay.
I don't think it's one person, right?
Correct.
I think what it is. It eats into your depth, which you were already a little weak on. So now we're asking people to do things they really can't do.
Come on, man. They're pros. The next guy up. You hear all the time from them.
But that's not what we
did. You're going to hear.
We didn't next guy up,
though. No, we didn't. But okay, hold on. Now listen. So I know the Blues went on that great run after Hitch left last year. Yo took over, and they had all that. You know, Jake was playing great and made that great run. So then you come into this year with – you know, feeling good about how you finished the year. Obviously, you didn't no hockey player is ever going to say they finished great if they don't raise the cup. But anyway, there was a lot of positive things coming out of last year. You come into this year, you got the Fabry thing, but you were without Fabry in the spring, so it didn't matter anyway. You just don't feel like...
Yeah, you felt like that was going to be a bonus, right?
Yeah, so so you know how to, the team knows that they're without him anyway, and they can win without him. So they come in, and yo, Mike, yo, for those of you watching, you know, it was a different Blues team in system-wise. Like, the D were really involved on the rush, and there was a lot of involvement with the D and everything like that. And so things are going great, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are a lot of other teams in the NHL that do a lot of video. So what did they do?
Adjusted.
They scouted the Blues and adjusted accordingly. So that's what you're seeing now. You're seeing the Blues system being combated against people who know what they're going to do now, you know, and who have studied it. And it's been a little difficult for them.
Right. And kind
and
of
bad goaltending.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, we can't get away from that. And I mean, I you know, nobody sings Jake Allen's praises more than Kimby and Rivers, and they believe in him, and they think he can be a number one goaltender. But even they'll tell you right now, he's just not playing well. So where I was going earlier was this. Yes, the Schwartz thing hurts. Let's face it. He's a top player in the game. He'd be in the All-Star game, so he's one of the top players in the game, right? He's not – I don't know that I'd call him elite. But he's a top player in the game, right?
Man, he's pretty close to,
you know. But it's his number one. It's effort, skill, two-way player. He does it all, really, for you, right? That's really hard to replace when you lose a guy like that. We're not talking about losing, and no disrespect. We're not talking about losing Sobotka or Yashkin or some of these other guys. Or to be completely honest with you, we're not talking about losing a guy that only does one thing well. Now, where I kind of take issue, and Jamie kind of touched on it last week. And I'll never understand this. You'll never make me understand this, okay? I agree wholeheartedly with the way they quote-unquote used to do it, or maybe some other people still do it. But your term of next man up, I agree with. Well, let's next man it up with a guy that can play that role. Quit giving me guys trying to play that can't score. I don't want Dmitry Yaskin on the top line anymore. I don't want Scotty Upshaw up on the top line anymore. Take your next man up and shove it up your ass. Bring me Clauston. Bring me one of these other guys that do what? What have they done their whole life?
Score.
Thank you. Thank you. That's what I want.
Okay.
Okay? I don't want a grinder playing on the top two lines because Schwartz is hurt.
So it wasn't, in my opinion, Coach Yo did not do that, did not make those moves to replace Schwartz in hopes that those guys became Jaden Schwartz.
I understand that.
I think he did it as to compete or to counter what was being done to them system-wise. I think he put guys on there that are gritty and grind and just chip it out and see where we go. If we change a little bit of the culture of the top two lines where there's a little more grit to them.
I liked the culture of the top two lines when things were going well earlier in the year. Why would you? That's my point.
You got to remember.
Shove it up your ass. Okay? I don't want any more grinders. playing with guys that play with skill.
Well, I'll tell you this. I'm going to tell you something.
Go ahead. You tell me something.
You most likely would feel very differently if the saves that are supposed to be made were being made. I'm telling you, it's bad. If you need an example, look at the fourth goal.
Okay.
Against Phoenix. That's brutal. That's brutal. He gets beat short side from the top of the circle?
Well, wait a minute. Hang on now.
Come on.
Whoa.
Stop.
What is one of the again, you're the hockey coach. I'm a fan. But what is one of the things that I've told you for 2 years that you've actually always agreed with me on? Nothing more deflating than when a team has to work their ass off and can't get anything by their netminder, and you get a shitty goal against. It's deflating.
Well, it is deflating, but let's not act like they were working their butts off.
No, yesterday's not a good example. I'm talking about in years past when I felt like they had a better team. But I'm going to say it again, and I don't want to hear any more bullshit from anybody either. I'm not rare hype. How many years are we going to waste trying to find a center for Tarasenko? Are we going to keep dicking around with this, to be completely honest with you?
Ladies and gentlemen, James is pissed.
Well, no, I'm dead serious. This is like, I don't listen. If you're out there going, maybe Tarasenko needs to step up his game, then you, sorry, negative. Negative. Okay. Listen, does he need to be better? They all need to be better. That's not my point. I'm talking about on a consistent basis. Okay. On a consistent basis, we don't have anybody whose sole job is to find 91 in space. We don't. And listen, if you don't want to play that way, I'm fine with it. But then get rid of him. It's stupid.
Well, okay. So there's a couple things.
Here, one, be a two-way player, Vladdy.
Hold on. One, I don't disagree with you about finding 91. I don't. However, I also agree with Jamie when it comes to 91 getting the puck off his stick.
That's another conversation.
I know. It's a similar conversation because some they get him the puck. And watch the games. Go back and just focus on 91 and watch when they get him the puck. A little slow sometimes. A little slow with the shot process. Not the release, as Jamie says, but to getting to the release. The load takes a little bit. So by the time he gets there, there's some other things. So my point is, it's not just one thing. It's a few things that are problems in regard to maybe 91 going through some slumps or being a little bit streaky with his goal scoring.
I don't know.
I'm not blaming 91 for this, though. I'll tell you that. As deflating as you say it is, and it is, I mean, we were really deflated this weekend. We won both games, but it was deflating because our goaltenders didn't play well. But so you're accurate with that. But is on the converse of that is when they make big saves, it gets you going. You know, it gets the bench going and it gets the energy level up. And that isn't happening either. You know what I'm saying? Like, bad goals happen, great saves happen, but the bad goals are happening and the great saves aren't happening. And so we're constantly deflated. There's not much.
Well, again,
not much energy.
Listen, I mean,
even the
it's game a broken record.
Even the Ottawa game, like, it's
broken record.
All right.
Am I wrong?
No.
I mean, I'm sorry.
No, there's just more components to it.
You know, I mean, I get it. Anyway, listen, I just...
These deep sighs of yours.
It's just frustrating, man.
It's
frustrating.
You've got less than an hour before you can smile.
Well, here's the thing. I have to ask this. You know, who are they going to get fired now? A couple of these guys.
No, they're not going to get anybody fired.
Well, you know what I mean by that. There's a couple guys on this team that got a man fired, and they're still on this team. And boy, for some reason, I don't want guys like that on my team. And I'll be glad when they're gone. Hopefully, one of them's gone here in about 3 months.
I'd like to see
the other one gone as well.
I guess if
even though he's played a little better lately.
If the season trends out as it has been lately, for you know, it's not just like a couple games, for a while now. If it trends like this, I'm okay with an overhaul. And what the hell? I'm 49 years old. I haven't seen a cup yet, so one more year ain't gonna kill me.
We'll see. People get mad when you call them the Cubs, but at least the Cubs won.
Yeah.
So we'll
I just hope I'm not
that.
The guy that's like,
I'm just
95 and they win it, and then I have to kick the bucket the next day or something.
Well, you might.
I know, because
it'd be a way to go, wouldn't it?
It'd be cool, but I'm not necessarily.
Oh, listen, I love the Blues. I'm just frustrated right
now.
Of course, I'm not dumb.
If you didn't love the Blues, you wouldn't be.
I'm not ignorant. I know injuries take a toll, but I mean, I just
injuries.
Injuries, you know, they have some issues going on. And believe me, I think Tage Thompson's been a nice player for him. Okay? He has been a nice player for him. No doubt about it, right?
He's been one of their better players.
That's right. It's not Tage Thompson.
No, it's not.
I mean, it's some names that have been here for a little while.
Man, just look at the D coverage in our zone, or look how we handle when we're getting, when just look at the Phoenix game as an example of what's going on. In other games, look at how they handle the rush or the attack. The D are gapping way. It's just poor gapping. Like, even the goal, like, shouldn't – even the fourth goal against the Blues on Saturday with Phoenix, the gapping there is terrible. no one really is in the right spot to put pressure on that puck. So here we got a guy who's just, well, nobody's going to be around me. I'm going to fire one on net and see what happens. And then it beats you short side. Yaskin's like in no man's land. He's not in the D or gapped below the dot and the puck's still above the circle. It's just bad.
There's a couple of guys here I gotta say that I'm just, how long are we going to keep going down this road? He's one of them. Pay Harvey's another one of them. I mean, I just.
And, you know, Yaskin had been playing okay. Like, I wasn't too disappointed, but he was really bad. He was on the ice for that goal, and then he was on the ice for what? Was it the third goal, I guess, maybe? When they made the goalie change?
Yeah, I don't.
Deflection in front. They work it low to high.
He strikes me as a guy.
They work it low to high. They're D throws it on net, and you got Yaskin is the only net front presence there with the Phoenix guy, and he doesn't take the stick away.
Yeah.
He doesn't. He's just literally standing there.
Puck watching.
He doesn't take the stick away, and the guy just deflects it in the net. It's just
I'll never understand it. You know who used to puck watch?
Sticks away.
You know who I loved as a player but used to puck watch was TJ Oshie. He was a puck watcher. Like, he would... Like, a lot of times you'd rewind goals and you'd be like, what are you looking at? The guy is right by you.
Yeah.
And instead of swiveling your head a little bit and picking up the guy, you're watching the play.
It's not hard. Watch
the great teams, man. They don't puck watch. They pick their men up. Their men are the number one priority.
They take sticks away.
That's right. We puck watch a lot, and it drives me crazy. Mm-hmm. Pareko on the goal you and I were arguing about was puck watching.
Okay. But still,
he's out of position, puck watching, and the six foot something, 200 something pound defenseman allowed a guy to give him a little cross check across the hip, and he's out of position. I agree with you.
I mean, we teach that move to our forwards. We teach him, if you want a little space, tap the hips of the D next to you, and it'll separate you to get that little space. So when you're in front, of the net, and you see F1 or the guy with the puck come around low, and you got a D there with you, and the D is in the wrong spot where you can get a stick on his hips. You get a stick on his hips, and you just give him a little pop, and all that does is move him about 2 or 3 feet forward. If he's in a bad position, his toes of his skates are going toward the end line, which is toward the net, and you just give him a little pop on the hips, he's going to move 2 or 3 feet forward. And then you're wide open in front, and that's exactly what happened on that goal. Pareko was puck watching. He didn't have the guy in front. The guy in front saw that, popped his hip, wide open in front, pass, goal. And why is that? Because the guy who made the pass has his head up, his eyes up, and he's looking for somebody open in the slot in the Phoenix Coyote guy got it. He created that space by a really bad spot by Pareko. And there were three Blues down there.
Yeah.
There were three blue jerseys down there.
Well, they got, you know, we're going to talk to Jamie about the fact that we're nearing the end of this road with Schwartz, and he's going to come back, and what do we do from there? We're still players away, in my opinion, but, you know, I must say, with the emergence of Tage Thompson, with Schwartz coming back, and the ability to put players maybe more in positions of ways to help the team. Yeah. But like Yaskin's an example, and the last thing I'll say on this is this. He's a guy that needs to be playing third line that almost looks to me like he doesn't want to play on the third line. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
He wants to try to play like he's playing a top forward position instead of just playing the third line and doing what the job is on the third line. It's irritating to me. Pay Arvey's the same way. We've got guys playing in position. You know, Yaskin was a second-line player that didn't work out. So what are we going to do with him? We're going to put him down somewhere where he can't succeed. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm dumb and stupid, but I know what I see. I see a dumb hockey player. Sorry. I'm probably going to get in trouble for that.
I don't know. I will tell you this. And I don't think Yaskin was playing that poorly. I think collectively the Blues are playing poorly, but I think he played well, but he had a really bad game Saturday, and they all had a really bad game Saturday.
Well, I don't understand how a first period at home happens like that against the worst team in the league, but, you know, be that as it may, what are you going to do?
I don't know.
I mean, really.
I mean, I know what I would do. But.
Well, Well, you would do exactly what Coach O did, probably.
Yeah, we would have a discussion, but it doesn't matter how many meetings you freaking have.
Meetings about meetings.
Yep. Pro's got a pro.
Well, we're going to hopefully hear in a couple of minutes here from our wonderful and talented Blues correspondent, Angela Sharp. And, of course, going to hear from Jamie Rivers as hopefully he is full go after his Vegas trip. And hear a little bit of their thoughts on this. And, of course, we'll have our Live from Inter Arena segment. And, of course, our good friend Brad Lee with his St. Louis Game Time Report. Before we do that, though, I want to remind everybody to check out InnovativeCompanies.com. They're the lead sponsor on our show here. They're so involved in the community and helping everybody out with what they need. They've got the umbrella with all three companies underneath. Check them out at InnovativeCompanies.com. You know, we were talking a little bit just now about the construction aspect of the team and the way the thing is done. Make sure you check out Innovative Construction for all of your construction need, residential, commercial, anything industrial, anything you may need. 35 years experience, and of course, a second generation craftsman in Randy Green. Fully licensed, bonded, and insured. Give them an opportunity for your business. Check out theinnovatedcompanies.com. We are the Blues NHL Podcast. You can learn more about us at bluesnhlpodcast.com. You can subscribe to the show there. Do your shopping through Amazon. Help us with our production costs. We greatly appreciate it. Find us on Twitter at STL Podcast, STL Blues Podcast, and at NHL Show. Find us on Facebook as well. Simply type in Blues NHL Podcast. Our ask there is that you like our Facebook page. Click invite your friends and invite all your friends that like the Blues. We'd love to have them a part of the show and a part of the discussion. Find us on Instagram as well, simply by typing in STL Blues Podcast. And, of course, special thanks goes out to lineupmedia.fm, fastest-growing podcast company on the planet. Soon to launch Yo Radio. Well, it's kind of already launched, but I don't know that they've done an official opening with it. But check out Yo Radio. All you got to do is Google Yo Radio. Check it out. Great internet station. You guys will find a lot of stuff on there you like, growing every day. And our producers, Brian Kroc, Andrew Allen, could not do the show without both these guys. Everything they do behind the scenes that you'll never see, we appreciate greatly.
B just smiled again.
Yeah, he did. He bucks that trend. You know who's, I guarantee you, you know who always smiles.
I'm thinking someone awesome being awesome.
Someone awesome being awesome always smiles. The one, the only, the very talented Angela Sharp. How are you this morning?
Hey, I'm great. How are you guys?
Well, Mr. Henson, Coach Henson, hit us up with a fun fact for Mondays. Gary, tell her what you learned, and let's find out if we guess correctly.
I learned that Americans typically do not smile until 11:16 a.m. on Mondays.
And I said, of course, I guarantee you I know who smiles before 11:16 on a Monday morning. Am I correct?
Oh, yeah, you're correct.
See, I knew it.
Well, you're correct now because it's 10, whatever.
No, it's 10:30. I guarantee she smiled once
today.
Yeah,
but you made her smile.
No, like, see, she's laughing.
She just didn't
You listen, I can assure you as I sit here today,
she was not
smiling. I don't need to make her smile or laugh. I assure you she's naturally that way. That's why she's awesome at being awesome.
I didn't say she wasn't awesome at being awesome, but I'm calling BS on the fact she smiles if we don't call.
Well, Angela, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, you said you got a scratchy, raspy voice this morning. Are you dealing with a little something?
Well, no. I think what happened was, you know, I hadn't done much for that whole, you know, 11 days.
Yeah.
And then I had two ambush games and a Blues game
on the weekend. You're going to have to go on the DL, are you? The injured reserve? You'll be all right?
Strained vocal cords.
No.
Yeah, no, don't do that. Well, here's the real question. Could even Angela Sharp smile the other night during the first period?
So let me tell you that before I even talked for the first time, we were down by three and pulled our goalie. So, you know, that was a little rough one. That was a rough game. But minus the fact that this is my 11th season. And, I mean, sure, somebody out there is going to be like, no, we boot them once in whatever year. But I have never heard an audible boo like that, like I did after the first period.
Really?
In all of my 11 years being, and I've been in every home game. So that was surprising. But I got to tell you something about our fans. Our fans are awesome because I, you know, had them yell. I said, give me in 3, 2, 1. And they all yelled, let's go Blues, just like I asked. So, I mean, they're still in it. They just wanted the team to know they better do better.
I'm going to tell you, I Gary,
what
does that shock you in all her time? That's the first time she's heard a boo like that. I mean, I've heard boos, but I think what she's getting at was that kind of a boo, right? Am I wrong
yes.
here?
Okay. Where where it was so many people so loudly.
I'm surprised by that.
Were you really?
Not
surprised that that's the first time she's heard it, or surprised that they did it?
Surprised the they did it.
Really?
Yeah.
What about you, Angela? Did that surprise you? Or are you like,
yeah,
you know
no,
what? Maybe they deserved it. I don't know.
I didn't say they didn't deserve it.
No. I'm asking her. I'm asking the pro here, okay? You just coach. Let her handle
you.
The fans. Go ahead, Angela.
It did take me by surprise. Because like you say, you know, you hear, you know, maybe a couple people here and a couple people there, or like grumblings every once in a while when the team's not playing the way that we know they can. But that was loud. I mean,
it was purposeful.
I was down ready to go onto the ice for our intermission break, and I mean that was noticeably loud. So that did surprise me. And you know, I've been there for 11. This is my 11th season. So to hear it so loud, and for the first time that while I've been there, I mean that was it was shocking to me. I'm surprised. It wasn't shocking to them.
Well,
I don't know if they were shocked or not. But.
Well, I was going to ask you, like, over the years, you know, you've done, like, I mean, everything from interviews to going on events and promotional things, and you've done a lot of stuff with players in different events, right? So has it ever has that ever come up, like when things weren't going so well and maybe fans were getting on them, whether it be at the actual arena itself or maybe social media or things written about the paper? You ever have any conversations with any players like that? Because I think we always wonder do they really pay attention and does it bother them?
I've had conversations with players before about stuff on social media, and, you know, you get pretty much a mixed bag of answers on that. Some read it all the time. Some don't read it at all. Some kind of scan through it and don't let it bother them. So that doesn't matter. But I've asked players before, like, oh, like, can you hear when the fans are cheering? And that kind of, like, the more positive way. And they always say yes to that. So I am sure it was noted that the but a very loud boo happened before the second period, as they left for the first.
Okay, so let's flip the table here. What's it going to be like when Jaden Schwartz takes the ice? And I'm assuming his first home game, he's in the starting lineup, so the place can reverse the boo and go absolutely bananas.
I would assume so too, but I mean, I know the stats on with Jaden, without Jaden. I know that he's been a difference maker around. I'm excited to get him back too, but that's also a lot of pressure. on a human person to come back. I mean, he's not the savior. Like, hopefully he's going to help, you know, make that line that, you know, with Shin and make that stuff maybe magical again. That would be great. But I think we're counting on one person to do an awful lot of difference. Right now, I think we have all the pieces to make a team work. We wouldn't mind picking up another one plus Jaden. But we're just not firing on all the cylinders. So, yes, we probably will erupt in cheers when he takes the starting lineup, because I'm sure that's how they would do it too, to make sure all the fans would go excited. But he's also just one human being. And, you know, they won those two games right after the bye week, but then you come home and then you play like that. And especially in the first period, I mean, like I said, before I even talked, down by 3 and changed their goalie. So, I mean, that means – I think my first hit was in the second break. So before the 10-minute mark, we had done that. So, I mean, that's a lot of pressure on one person.
All right, Angela, I got a question because you mentioned it twice. So give us some idea of what it's like for you. Like, they're down 3-0, and they've pulled their goalie, and now –
You gotta go to work.
And now, Angela, it's on you. What are you feeling right there? Like, right before you have to, like, go out there, what's going on?
I gotta tell you, there is a I mean, luckily for me, it really hasn't happened all that much with the Blues. But, I mean, I did work a little bit for the Missouri River Riders before, so I'm a little used to how that works. But what happened was I had seen the first goal. I had gotten an elevator to go all the way up to the 300 level, got out of the elevator, and saw right when they scored that third one on us. And I was like, wait, what? I'm going back in the elevator. Like, no, this is
no,
not going to work.
Don't go in the elevator.
It is a little rough for you, for me, because, I mean, typically my things are like fan engagement, and I know that nobody wants to hear from me. Some people don't want to hear from me ever, but no one wants to hear from me when we're down by three and have just pulled our goalie. So I just do the best I can and try to be overly happy to maybe get some little bit of happiness out of some people.
That's such a tough spot for her, you know what? I mean, come on, Jimmy. That's a tough spot.
Oh, it's not good. I mean, I can't even imagine. Seriously, everybody does what they do for a living, but can you imagine, like, let's face it, we've all seen Angela work and how well she does what she does, but she is genuinely, like, very upbeat. So can't you picture her, like, she does, like, if you ever see her over there, she's, like, buzzing through the halls, and people are going, Angela, and she's going, and, you know, sometimes she wants to stop, but she's got to go, and... So, you know, here she comes and probably is making her way through the concourse and is wondering why nobody's, like, real happy. And then all of a sudden you walk out and you see it's 3-0 and you're like, okay, let's go.
It's got to be a tough spot.
That's exactly on point.
I'm going to give you some coaching advice.
Oh, no. You ready for this?
If you get in an elevator on the first floor and you take it to whatever floor and you get out, another team has scored a couple goals, stay out of the elevator. Like,
oh no!
Obviously, that's your fault.
I didn't get back in the elevator.
There you go. Okay, take the stairs.
I wanted to go back down to my little. I have a dressing room in the basement. I wanted to go back down to the basement, but I didn't. I just waited patiently until we figured it out. I mean, you know,
you can't put yourself in the same position that created all these goals. What are you doing?
No, I agree. You know, superstitions, they're only crazy if they don't work. And I got to tell you, I mean, they did end up scoring on us two more times after the elevator scenario.
So it wasn't. This was
but
not
only,
due to the elevators.
Only two. Right.
This was not due to the elevator schedule or Angela's being on the elevator. So she will take no credit for this loss.
All right. I will not take credit for this one, guys.
Yeah, I mean, for Pete's sake.
I'm blaming everyone in the building is at fault.
Everyone in the building.
Everyone.
At fault.
I'm blaming
fans
them
included?
All.
Everyone in the building.
Everybody.
That's
fans.
Kind of drastic.
Fans, players, coaches, trainers, equipment guys, media, vendors, everyone.
Wow.
Ushers.
Blues correspondents.
Blues correspondents.
Blues correspondents.
Like people we know that work the suites.
So wait a minute. So are you saying
if you were in the building, you're at fault.
So should Angela have been at the bag skate the next morning?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I was supposed to go there. No.
Yeah. Well, then you should have got up and ran.
I was so happy about whatever I did on Saturday night.
Well, I'm telling you, you were in the building, so you should have took it upon yourself to, like, go run Art Hill for a while or something.
Oh, Jesus, please. It was nice. I mean,
everybody should have paid a price.
All right, fine. I'll go for a jog today.
All right, there you go.
Well, Angela, I can tell you that at least half the regime in here doesn't think you had anything to do with the loss, and hopefully as we move forward, the Blues themselves can pick themselves up by the bootstraps and find some intestinal fortitude and all those great cliches and figure out a way to get this thing straightened out. But I know it wasn't your fault. I got to tell you, Gary, Coach Henson here is getting ready to tell a nice little story about his brief moment of fame thanks to this wonderful show. And I have to tell him that, you know, while somebody recognized him, I say all the time when people recognize me, they always say the same thing. Are you on that show with Angela Sharp? They never say anything.
They don't
about us, so,
say that.
I left that part out of my story.
Hey, tell our listeners how they can follow you and where they can keep up with you at.
Oh, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. It's all just my name, Angela Sharp. Angela has two L's. Sharp has an E at the end of it.
Well, we need Angela to have a couple W's in it because we need some wins. So you figure that out next time, and if not, damn it, you go to Art Hill and you start running.
That's right.
I'm going to go for a run right now, guys. I apologize for ever getting in an elevator.
Gee, many Christmas. Okay, Angela, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, see you later, guys.
That is Angela Sharp, our Blues correspondent, who you can see at all the Blues games as she does what she does best. And, boy, as Coach Henson brought to our attention, and he could not be more correct. What a tough job to do when
honestly,
before you even
like that was a legit question.
I didn't even think about the way her schedule goes. Can you imagine? Like I'm telling you, like if you've ever seen her in action, like you know, here she comes and everybody's all excited, and she walks out and it's 3-0,
and a goalie change,
and the goalie change. Like, let's go Blues! You know, I mean, it's insane. So
That was a legit question.
It's tough, yeah, for sure. I got some bad news. Mr. Rivers just called. He is unavailable. Big things happening though for the St. Louis hockey community though. So
really?
You're
gonna break it or you?
No, I'm not breaking. You don't have to break anything.
Are
I
you
mean, it's
scoop Cromer.
No. You can just follow it in the paper. But I think we're getting closer and closer to the Maryland Heights facility, right? That's in the paper.
And
Jamie and what he does with the youth and programs in St. Louis and what a big part of it he is in the organizational and everything he does, whether it be through AAA Blues, whether it be Synergy Hockey, St. Louis Blues Youth Program, all that kind of stuff. Obviously, he's a pretty big sounding board off of that. Will this work? Will this not work? My assumption is that's where he's at, and that's going to take a little precedence over us today. Darn it.
Okay, though. It's a good thing.
Because, I would be curious to know if Jamie was pissed today because I don't know.
I have
a hard time. Now, what I also wonder is, did he even see it? Because if you were in Vegas, would you see it?
Yeah, it's on.
All right, I hear you.
I mean, they'll put it on the screen. There's a screen everywhere, so it doesn't matter.
We'll just have him on Thursday, and he can come in here, and he can take over the show like he always does, and him and Kimby can let us all know what the real problem is. Hopefully, we've got it figured out by then. But
hopefully,
they
play well tomorrow, and it eases.
Can you imagine if they didn't play well
tomorrow?
Man,
if
they don't play well tomorrow,
I'm
going to move to that seat. Over there. So, speaking of seats, if you want a great seat to some great action, Minner Arena is where it's at. Let's hear now from our good friend and yours, Dennis Minner, live from Minner Arena. Take it away, pal.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me back. This is Dennis Minner live in Minner Arena. Follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Minner Arena, M-I-N-N-E-R, Minner Arena. And especially on Twitter, and you can see my rants and raves and check out what Minner Arena actually is. And we are the greatest man cave in all of St. Louis for the St. Louis Blues. And you know, I would like to think maybe I've got the best man cave anywhere for the St. Louis Blues. Very excited that this week Show Me St. Louis is coming to Minner Arena. They're actually going to be here this afternoon, and we're recording a show that's going to be airing this Wednesday, January 24th. You can watch Show Me St. Louis, and you'll see me in Minner Arena. And then also they're re-airing the program on Super Bowl Sunday. So really, really excited about that and have no clue what all they're going to ask me what we're going to do, but we'll find out. So, hey, last Monday we had no show, and I got to be honest with you. I was glad because we had an embarrassing loss to Florida, and I didn't want to talk about it. But then we had our bye week, right? Then we went 2 in a row, which the guys have been talking about. We're seeing the Blues from early in the season. Twitter is at peace. We're excited. You know, the fast-paced team, the guys that are, you know, predicting the puck, you know, just everything's going great. And then Saturday happens. You've got to be kidding me. Let me start out by saying this, and you could have heard me say a few weeks ago. In my opinion, Allen should not have started that game before the bye week. That game against Florida was hands down the worst game of the season for Allen. It was obvious those last couple goes. It was like he just gave up. I've not heard fans cheer so much this season as when Allen was taken out and they put Hutton in. So he goes into bye week with that on his mind. Everyone on Twitter, everyone on social media hates him. We're blaming Allen, but now all we want is Hutton, right? Because Hutton's a hot hand, which I'll agree. We come back, we get these two wins, and then the team implodes Saturday. Guys, I'm still pissed about Saturday's games. But guess what? Twitter now all of a sudden is hating on Hutton. And the arena went crazy when Allen came in. People, get a grip. I cannot express that enough. I'm irritated. Goalies are not the issue on the St. Louis Blues team right now. I'm not saying we have an elite goalie that can take us to win the Stanley Cup. But I am telling you that, in my opinion, Carter Hutton, Jake Allen are not the issue. All I kept hearing on Saturday's game, for when everyone finally started jumping on hating Hutton, was he was out of position on several goals that he allowed in. Guess what? You want to know why he's out of position? Because sometimes goalies are going to overcompensate when they expect their defense to be in places they should be, okay? I'm just tired of seeing all this blame on the goalie. That is not it. I loved, absolutely loved, that Yo told the press, and he said this. He said, at some point, you've got to get pissed off, and it didn't feel like there was a lot of that. You know, I tweeted out, if I performed like 75% of the Blues players are on this team, I would be fired, all right? Hands down, I'd be fired. I know NHL, it's different, but this is a professional job. It's a professional sport. Something's got to wake up, and I don't get it. Petro went on to say that he said about Hutton, he said 100%, we all feel it. We feel like we let him down. We let Jake down. Those guys have been playing their butts off. Tarasenko even said, it's really embarrassing for us to embarrassing for fans seeing a game like this at home. We have a day tomorrow to figure it out. I'm sorry to the I'm sorry to the person on StubHub that bought my tickets for Saturday night's game. That's what I want to apologize for. My grandmother passed away, so I couldn't make it to the game Saturday. I watched it on TV. But I apologize to the guy on StubHub that bought my tickets because he had to sit through that. But that's it. Everyone blamed Hitch. We can't do that anymore. He's not our coach, and I am so happy to see Yo ticked off. I love that he made every single player stay after the game and answer questions from the media. I loved seeing all the clips where he skated their butts off on the lines. And I'm also tired of seeing people saying, be happy. We're still third in the division and seventh in the NHL. I can't tell you how skewed that is. And I felt like it was a political slant from CNN or Fox News. Here's what it boils down to. If Dallas, Colorado, and Minnesota would win their games and equal to the 49 we have played, we drop down to sixth place in the division and 14th in the NHL. Guess what? That's a long way from playoffs. So, guys, I don't know what it's going to take, but I really, really hope next week I'm in a better mood. Check me out on Twitter, Facebook, at Minner Arena. Watch for me this Wednesday on Show Me St. Louis. And you know what? As ticked off as I am, I still love my Blues no matter what. So let me I'll throw it out there. Let's go Blues.
Great stuff as always. Happy to always have Dennis part of the show and his Live from Minner Arena segment. We love it. It's awesome stuff. Thank you so much for being a part of Blues NHL Podcast. I want to take some time to, again, thank some of our partners here before we move on to our next segment. Remember, Innovated Companies, the umbrella that consists of the three big ones that you're going to need if you have any projects going on. Of course, you've got the construction team, innovatedcompanies.com. Check it out. First off, you've got your construction team. Then you've got your heating and cooling. For everything you need when it comes to that, residential, commercial, industrial, anything you may need when it comes to heating and cooling, they're going to take care of you. They've made it so easy. When you go to innovatedcompanies.com, you're going to find the three main companies. You got your construction, heating and cooling, and electric. Everything you could possibly need under one roof. Make sure you check out innovatedcompanies.com. Again, our good friend Randy Green and his talented daughter Stephanie doing what they do here in the St. Louis community and, of course, assisting people start to finish in their projects. Make sure you guys give them an opportunity for their business and to help you really with whatever your project may be. You know, when it comes to electrical work, you got to be very careful with that sort of stuff. We all know that. These are your guys, no doubt about it. 35 plus years now of experience, second generation craftsman, of course, fully licensed, bonded, and insured. Check out innovatedcompanies.com. Going to hear now from our friend and yours, Brad Lee, who runs that tremendous rag out in front of Scott Trade Center. The St. Louis Game Time, and of course, we hear from him each and every Monday with his St. Louis Game Time report. Take it away, Brad.
Hi, this is Brad with the Game Time section of the podcast. I'm Brad Lee with St. Louis Game Time. You can find our fan-run paper outside every Blues home game. You can find us on Twitter at SD Lewis Game Time or on Facebook or on our website, stlouisgametime.com. I'm recording this Monday, and the most recent game that's sticking in my craw is obviously Saturday night's debacle with the Arizona Coyotes. Worst team in the league come in. I think they had points in three straight games, but a couple of those were overtime losses. It took them, I think, to get to 10 wins. It was into January of this year when the Blues got their 10th win. It was still in October. I mean, just teams at opposite ends of the spectrum. And you expect the Blues to come in there, dominate, win 5-1, 5-2, kind of like what they did to Edmonton in the fall. And Arizona came into play. The Blues were not ready. And I think the timing is really, really poor for a couple reasons. One, you had a really successful road trip through Toronto and Ottawa. The comeback win, pulling the goalie and tying the game late with the goalie pulled, was amazing in Toronto. And then the overtime winner with Vince Dunn, lots of positive feelings and stuff to build on. And then you had the game in Ottawa where, I mean, that game wasn't in question. It was the Blues game to win, and they won it. And then you bring in the worst team in the league, and you can't do anything. They give them a 4-goal lead in the first period. Some of them were fluky. The puck had eyes, and there were some deflections, and it bounced off things, and it wasn't Carter Hutton's fault. And I'll get to the goalie situation in a second, but it's bad timing in that then the next day you have the season ticket holder event where people who have season tickets got a chance to have tours of the locker room and meet the players and autographs and stuff. And there was a Q&A with the general manager, Doug Armstrong. And it's just a weird time to have the worst game of the season happen. And so then the Blues, you know, they've been traveling all week. They had the week off, the bye week. And they practiced Sunday morning at 10:30 before the season ticket holder thing. And then they practiced again on Monday before a Tuesday game. So, you know, they had the week off, and then there's the All-Star break coming up. So it's there's lots of time off. So I think the coaching staff said, look, maybe there's too much time off. Maybe there needs to be a little more focus. And something Mike Yeo said after the game, either he said it after the game Saturday or Sunday after practice, was that players really needed to take it personally, and that when things started to go wrong, they didn't react the right way. And not that it wasn't a reaction of, we need to score, we need to play harder, we need to do this, we need to do that. It was much more of an emotional response. He wants to see them mad. He wants to see them pissed off. Sure as hell, the people buying the tickets and spending time to watch the games and buying jerseys, we were all pissed off, so you'd hope the players get pissed off. And you just didn't see that in the body language. When things have gotten tough in some games, they just kind of roll over. And that's not a hallmark of a winning hockey team. You know, if the Blues are going to make a run in the playoffs, a couple things have to happen. One, you have to beat the teams you're supposed to beat every single time, because it is so hard to beat the challenging teams and get 2 points. And with the loser point by losing an overtime or in the shootout, the standings get so compacted and the Central Division is so tough. You have to get 2 points against the Arizona Coyotes, period. It's required. And they didn't do it. And I think the other thing is that you really have to see that emotional response, because the playoffs are so different and they are such a grind, and they are a mental grind as much as a physical grind. And if your team is not mentally strong to come in and play the worst team in the league and not put a good effort and not get mad, not get pissed off, what are they going to do in the playoffs when you're down? You know, maybe you get to an elimination game where it's the game that decides who's gonna have the third win and force the other team to be in elimination. You know, there are emotional checkpoints in a playoff series. And you have to be mentally strong to get through those things. And if Saturday night is the litmus test, if that's the judge, the Blues definitely don't have it. So the other thing I wanted to mention was the goaltending situation. Now, I think I've talked a couple times here on the podcast about how if you talk about one goalie playing better than the other, then there are fans of both goalies, one or the other, who get upset and think, oh, you're picking on him. So if you talk about Carter Hutton, then you're obviously picking on Jake Allen. That's not how it works. Look, there's no controversy right now. Starter Hutton is the starter. Carter the starter, however you want to call it. He's the number one guy right now. He has played himself in that position, and Jake Allen has played himself out of that position. That's the first thing. And the second thing, yeah, do I think Jake Allen will be this starting goaltender the first night of the playoffs if the Blues make it? Yeah, I do. He has the contract. He has the pedigree. He has the status in the organization. And historically, when you look at, for instance, Brian Elliott, he was brought in on a two-way contract. He was not highly regarded. He was meant to be the backup. When there were times to make a choice in goaltending, they went with the pedigree, they went with the contract, they went with the guy that was more highly regarded in the organization. That's Jake Allen. He has not played himself in a position to be regarded as a starter right now. And I don't care if it's, you know, the team doesn't score in front of him, they don't play good defense, whatever. It's results. It's results, it's results, it's results. And Jake Allen has one win in his last five starts, four losses. That's not a, you know, you, how can you keep putting him out there? You say, oh, he needs to work his way back into being the starter. Okay, great. You're going to do that and throw away wins when you need points in the standings, especially after you blow a game against Arizona? I don't know. It's a tough situation. The best thing for the Blues right now would be for Jake Allen to pitch a shutout in his next start. I don't know if he's going to do it. I don't know. He's going to get some opportunities here. They've got a couple of games here left before the All-Star break. All-Star break next weekend. And then the schedule gets a little bit harder, more difficult, more divisional play, more teams that are in a playoff spot. That's when I think you're going to see the goaltending situation kind of pan out. And we'll kind of see, okay, which guy is really taking advantage of this situation where it's up for grabs and who's going to run with it and who might stumble. I'm not saying Carter Hutton's going to stumble, but he is a career backup. So we'll see how it plays out. Don't take too much into who's getting the starts right now. Let's talk in a month, okay? All right, like I said, game time. We are the Fan Run Paper, sold outside every Blues home game. You can find us outside the garage, outside the 14th Street doors on the northeast corner of 14th and Clark. 24 pages of content you can't find anywhere else. If you live out of town, you haven't seen the paper, drop me an email, gtbradley@gmail.com, and I'll send you the last issue so you can check it out if you're interested. We send out PDFs to subscribers all over the country. So thanks for listening. Check us out on Twitter, Facebook. Maybe I'll have a more upbeat report next week. You never know. So thanks for listening. I appreciate it. Back to you guys.
Great stuff as always. Really appreciate it. And of course, everybody loves the St. Louis Game Time magazine. Make sure you guys check it out. You can always get it before each and every home game out in front of Scott Trade Center. Just find the four vendors. Follow them on Twitter. You'll know where they're at. And of course, you can always subscribe. Simply contact them, St. Louis Game Time. Appreciate Bradley and everybody and all the work they do with the tremendous articles that really make you think and go, huh? Like that song says, things that make you go, huh? So anyway, special thanks again to a couple more of our partners we don't ever want to leave out. Of course, Nelson Land Services. Check out nelsonlandservices.com. A family that's very well known throughout the St. Louis amateur hockey community, especially as their boys continue to improve their game. Part with, of course, the great people at Synergy Hockey. You're definitely going to want to check them all out and give them all opportunities for what you do here in the community. I promise you, if you've been to the Ozarks, you've seen their handiwork. If you want to do some landscaping work in St. Louis, make sure you check them out, nelsonlandservices.com. Of course, synergyhockeys.com. You guys want to check that out. Jamie Rivers, the great programs that they have going on to help your young hockey player be the best player he can be. And as usual, we're always on the bench with Butter, our good friend who's not with us today, actually dealing with some internet issues of his own. Well, not internet, website issues. But when the website does get fixed, very simply, Tax Planning and Resolution by TommyBrown.com. Make sure you check it out. For all your tax needs, Tommy Brown's your guy. And of course, if you find yourself in trouble with the IRS, he can help. But why don't you let him keep you out of trouble with the IRS? Make sure you check out Tommy Brown. He is your guy. You're probably spending money if you own a business too that you could be using to better your company rather than just give it away. Give Tommy an opportunity, as we're always on the bench with Butter. Enjoyed the show today, G.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of lot of chat. Didn't enjoy the game.
Nope.
You know, don't hate the game, hate the player. We're going to go with that one today. But happy to do this with you, of course, each and every Monday, and I appreciate you so much. Sorry that Jamie had to cancel on us at the last minute. I know you guys always like to get his take, especially in good and bad, but I promise you he and Darren Kimball will be back on Thursday, and you guys can hear from them. I want to remind you to check out our partners, our social media partners that we couldn't have the growth of our show without. Of course, our good friend Mick Light with Art City Sports is always promoting the show. St. Louis Blues Hockey Memes, of course, another great Facebook page you guys are going to want to check out. St. Louis Blues Fan Unite, another good one that shares a lot of great information. And our newest member, Everything STL Sports, jumping on board lately is the Toast Dispatch, another great Twitter account that we are happy to see get involved in the show as well. For my good friend Coach Henson with the Missouri McKendree Bearcat Hockey Club, Butter, who is not here, and of course Jamie Rivers and Darren Kimball, I'm your off-ice official Jim Cromer, and for Blues NHL Podcast, we say, let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.